Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello and welcome to Nerd Party News, the show on the Nerd Party where we talk about the news. I'm Mike.
I'm Lance.
And today is Sunday. What day is it? May 16th.
Yeah.
2021. And we've got some news this week. Nothing earth-shattering, but some fairly interesting stuff.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, did you see anything good over the past few weeks?
It's been a weird week for me. Like, it's finals week, so I've had, like, grades and stuff due. But I guess the best thing that I've seen is the NBA Hall of Fame induction ceremony that was yesterday, as of this recording. And, yeah, it was just a really nice ceremony. And, you know, it sucks that Kobe is gone and couldn't, you know, do his speech, but it was cool to see, you know, his wife do his speech. He had a good speech. Michael Jordan presented two people yesterday. He was Kobe's presenter, but he also presented Baylor's coach, who was a friend of his from way back in the when they were in college. They were both national champions in 1982, and they also were on the, like, you know, part of the Olympics together. So, like, they go way back. So that was pretty neat to see. But Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan, Tamika Catchings. It was just a good ceremony, a good class. Rudy Tomjanovich, cool. Head coach of the Houston Rockets, our back-to-back championship years.
Oh, well, there you go. Mm-hmm. There you go. That's pretty cool. I was at the Basketball Hall of Fame once when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And, like, I have to say that, like, for some reason, just the way, like we would take road trips, and that year we went to the football, baseball, and basketball Hall of Fames.
Okay.
And the Basketball Hall of Fame, it had, like, the most to do in a lot of ways. You know?
That's good to know, because that's on my, it's on my list of places to go see. I was planning on going to the Basketball Hall of Fame for my birthday last year, but of course, because of the situation of the world, I could not. Like, I had all these travel plans. We were talking to Mike about my travel plans. Yeah. And so this is another one of them that was ruined by the pandemic. Because I've been to Cooperstown, which I thoroughly enjoyed. So Canton and Springfield are next on my list.
Yeah, okay. Canton is kind of, that one's a little
boring.
Okay. You know what's actually better than that is the Packers Hall of Fame in
Green Bay.
They actually do a better job than Canton does. Okay. But
well, the College Football Hall of Fame is really good in Atlanta.
Oh, is that one good?
Yeah, that was a fun one.
Yeah. I'll have to check it out. Yeah. I've been following basketball this year. I've been following the Bulls all season long. It's been fun, but boy, they're
not a good team.
No. But they've officially been eliminated from the playoffs.
Well, you know what? You guys took longer to get eliminated than my Rockets, that's for sure, because we are awful. I sit here in my Rocket shirt.
Yeah. You got to be really bad to not make it to the NBA playoffs.
That's correct.
They've expanded it even more now.
I know, because there's a tournament.
20 out of 30 teams make it. God, whatever. Maybe next year. What can you do?
Not much.
So,
anyway, what'd you watch?
I watched a bunch of things, but I guess the thing that kind of stands out is Star Wars: The Bad Batch.
Oh, okay. I haven't gotten onto that one yet.
Yeah, it's really well done. You know, very much a sequel to Clone Wars. You know, done in the same style and everything like that. But it's more focused than the Clone Wars because you don't have like a billion characters and jumping around from one to the next. And like with Clone Wars, I always felt like I didn't know what was going on because you're just thrown into the action and you're like, okay, yes. But there was like so much backstory to it that I'm like, I don't know who any of these people are. Yeah. I don't know. Why should I care about these people? But with this one, it's a much smaller and more linear story, you know. Okay. So it's really just about like these five or six people and, you know, just kind of taking them through their journey. But the first episode in particular was really cool because, you know, like with Clone Wars, I don't know, did you see the last season of Clone Wars?
I have not yet. Okay. I know it happens, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah. So like the last like arc of the Clone Wars, like overlaps with the events of Revenge of the Sith. Mm-hmm. Like you actually see a lot of the same, you know, like moments, but from different perspectives and stuff. That's like cool. That. And the first episode of Bad Batch also overlaps with Revenge of the Sith. So it's almost like all three are like stacked on top of each other going at the same time.
Okay.
And like, I mean, they even like have, you know, like you see some of like the Emperor's speeches and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And like you see like the clones watching those speeches and stuff like on, you know, Holo TV or whatever it is. So it is really cool how it just is kind of like this seamless transition. And now we're into the story, which is, you know, post Revenge of the Sith, which is, you know, kind of like dealing with the fallout of Order 66 and how all these clones, you know, just had a flip switched in their head.
Yeah.
And are now, you know, bad guys. And it's like this group of like misfits. They're like that, like they didn't get their switches flipped, right? Okay. So now they're like, what's going on? You know, why all of a sudden are all of our friends, you know, evil, like that sort of thing.
Okay.
So it's pretty good. I would definitely recommend it. Cool. I'm excited to see where it goes.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, animated revivals of classic properties, mm-hmm. is the thing now. And Masters of the Universe Revelation is going to be one of the next big ones from Netflix. This is a series which is created by Kevin Smith, and it's going to be a continuation of the original Masters of the Universe show from the 80s.
Okay.
Like expanding on that story, but updated for modern times, you know, with kind of a more anime style and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And they just revealed the first few images from the show and also revealed that it's going to be, well, the first half of the season, so I guess like five episodes, are going to drop on Netflix on July 23rd.
Okay.
So are you a He-Man fan?
Not really. It's something that I obviously know about, but you know, this He-Man and a few of these other things kind of predate me just by a few years, right? So like, it's not something that I grew up with or like it was like attached to, but it's something that I was always aware of its existence, right? With that being said, though, this does look really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about you?
He-Man, I mean, Transformers was my number one show growing up.
Okay.
You know, but He-Man was number two.
Okay.
And it's one of those things where, like, revisiting them in high school or whatever when I was older, like, watching those two shows, like, Transformers is a show where I can watch it now and be like, yeah, this is fun. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like, you know, Citizen Kane or anything like that, but it's entertaining to watch. Whereas like He-Man, when I watched that original show, I'm just like, oh my God, I cannot believe that I was entertained by this show when I was 4 years old. You know,
yeah,
it's, uh-huh. you know.
Well, yeah. Well, see, it's funny. Cause like, yeah, that's kind of like, you know, because again, like this He-Man kind of predates me by a couple of years, but like for me, that would be what, like, the original like Ninja Turtles cartoon, and mm-hmm. you know, like you have X-Men the Animated Series, Batman the Animated Series, like those last two, I could watch those now and be fully entertained and fully engaged in what's going on. But it's hard for me to watch like the original Turtles cartoon, right?
Yeah.
And so I see what you're coming from there.
And when he first announced that he was doing this, I was like, well, that's really interesting and weird, you know? And, you know, seeing as how I'm a Kevin Smith completionist, like, I'm like, well, of course I'm going to watch this. And I was thinking to myself, like, I should just go back and watch all of the He-Man episodes, like all 86 of them or however many there are. And, you know, after a couple, I'm like, I cannot do this. Like, I just can't.
It's hard. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. I only do this with one thing in my life, and that's Power Rangers. I just can't help myself. But that this also kind of falls into the same line of things. And I was thinking, like, when I saw this, like, because, like, I saw the voice cast. The voice cast is great. The animation looks great. And there was talk, you know, like, in the Ranger community about, like, you know, doing a, you know, an animated show with, you know, with the old cast, right? And doing some of the things that are going on in the IDW comics, like animating some of those things. And that'd be great. And I think that's what Kevin Smith is doing here. It's a little bit of an update. It's still going to be the He-Man that is recognizable to the fans, but it takes the material just like a little bit more seriously, right? Like they just make it, they basically, and this is what I say about like the Power Ranger comics, like they make it the show that you thought you were watching when you were a kid.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he's going to do here. And I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's one of the things which he said on multiple occasions is like, whoever his like executive is, who's, I mean, there's someone at Netflix and then there's also someone at like Mattel or whatever that, you know, kind of like handles this stuff. And, you know, the guy is, I guess, like a huge He-Man fan. And he's like, the only thing that I ask that you do on this show is, you know, when I was a kid, every week when, you know, Skeletor was fighting He-Man, like I legitimately thought that like He-Man could die, mm-hmm. right? I legitimately thought that he was going to not get out of this situation. And he's like, all I ask is that with this show, you make me feel that again, right? Which obviously means an update in some form or another. But I mean, the other thing that Smith has said, which is sounds kind of interesting, is like when it starts, it feels like that original series where it's just kind of like, whatever, you know, things are going on. Like this is just another episode of the original series. And then like an event occurs, which causes like a cataclysmic shift in the lives of these characters.
Okay.
And that's where the story really kicks off and it goes to, I don't know, kind of like a deeper place, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm intrigued by it, you know, especially like since I was a fan of He-Man growing up, you know, like I'm hoping that, you know, it does what that, you know, executive says that he wants it to do.
Cool.
And, you know, I think probably what I'll do is just kind of like what I've done with like Mission Impossible and stuff like that, where, you know, before the show comes out, I think I'm going to like watch like the top 10, like highest rated episodes mm-hmm. of the original series or something, just to give me a taste, because there isn't like a ton of continuity on that show.
Oh, cool. Anything, yeah, for you know?
Sure. So I think that should be probably good enough to give me a little bit of a refresher on it.
Yeah.
You know?
I hear you.
But I am excited, I have to say.
Cool.
It's crazy. So another Netflix property is Knives Out. And of course, they're doing a couple of sequels to this mm-hmm. For Netflix. And of course, you know, Daniel Craig is coming back along with Rian Johnson and everything. And they've begun casting on the first of these movies. And of course, you know, it's going to be like a whole new cast because it'll be a whole new mystery, right? Mm-hmm. Which is pretty cool.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And, you know, the first cast, that was pretty solid. It's hard to top that, mm-hmm. but they're doing their best. So far, four people have been announced: Dave Bautista, Edward Norton, Janelle Monáe, and Catherine Hahn.
Okay.
I think that's pretty solid.
I like all four of those names, two of which are favorites of mine. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Which two?
Oh, Janelle Monáe and Bautista.
Okay.
Then Catherine Hahn, like, you know, you know, like, again, she's one of those people who I've seen in stuff, but I got more of a like an extensive look at her in WandaVision, of course. I watched her show that Miss Fletcher on HBO. That was really good too. So she's becoming a favorite. And then I've always liked Norton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Yeah, I texted my wife and I said, like, Catherine Hahn's going to be in Knives Out 2. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, she's the killer.
Yep, it was Agatha all along.
Yep, I'm not going to be fooled again. Oh, well. Well, speaking of Marvel stuff, new trailer this week dropped for Venom, Let There Be Carnage. Mm-hmm. Did you see it?
I did see it.
What'd you think?
Well, first of all, great name for the movie.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like that series is goofy enough where you can say that. And yeah. It's like, okay, yeah,
fine. It falls in line with everything that they're doing over there. Uh-huh. I did not like the first Venom movie.
No, it was bad.
I have a feeling that I'm not going to like this one. I kind of don't care. But am I going to see it? Likely, yeah. The trailer wasn't really all that interesting, I don't think. But it just kind of let me know. It's like, okay, well, this is what we're doing. So,
yeah. Andy Serkis coming in to direct. It's kind of an interesting choice.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Did not know that.
Yeah. It looks crazy enough. You know, I mean, I didn't like the first one either, but of course I'll watch this one and hopefully it'll be better.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, the most disappointing thing about the first Venom film was Eminem's title track, Venom. It's just like, Marshall, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? Not your best work. Yeah. Not your best work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, well. Well, you know, Marvel, they released a sizzle reel mm-hmm. of all their movies, you know, basically saying, like, movies are back, you know, can't wait to watch movies in the theater with mm-hmm. people and everything like
by
that.
By the way, we got, like, five coming in before this year is over.
Yep. And they had a bunch of, like, first footage we've seen of Eternals. Mm-hmm. And I think there was some new footage from Shang-Chi in there and stuff like that. So that was pretty interesting. But maybe the most interesting thing is that they revealed the official titles for Black Panther 2 and Captain Marvel 2, mm-hmm. which are Black Panther Wakanda Forever and The Marvels.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty crazy.
Indeed. The Marvels, it's interesting. So... obviously, they're going to tie into the Ms. Marvel show that's coming out. And then Monica Rambeau is going to be in in this as well. And she got, you know, a lot of shine in WandaVision. But that also makes me, you know, raise the question, where's Blue Marvel?
Oh, yeah. I don't know who that is.
Ah, okay. Well, he's a Marvel Universe character. And he's kind of, in a lot of ways, kind of like, I guess the best way to just kind of describe him would be a Black Superman type.
Okay.
Yeah. So he is interestingly missing. But we'll get into that a little bit later today. But yeah, so that's missing from that I think is interesting. But we knew that was going to be the direction that we were going to go with the Marvels anyway. Especially because the Ms. Marvel show is coming out later this year.
And they said that Ms. Marvel was going to be in this one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. But the fact that they're calling it the Marvels really does suggest much more integration, I think, than we had initially thought. So that's cool. That's cool. And, you know, Wakanda Forever, I think that still doesn't really tell us anything about what this this movie is going to be.
No.
But it'll be interesting to see
what they do.
There's
going to be a lot of eyes on that just because of the circumstances. So I'm confident in their intention to making this, you know, as good as it can be and as respectful as they can be of Chadwick Boseman and his legacy and his impact.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm thinking it's got to be about like Black Panther's legacy and not, you know. Yeah, we shall see. Well, another Marvel project which is gaining momentum is Secret Invasion. You know, I mean, we got word about, you know, casting like Olivia Colman is going to be in it and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And now there are two directors who have been hired to make this thing. The first is Thomas Bazooka.
Great
I'm
name.
Assuming I'm pronouncing that right. Yeah. And he made Let Him Go, which was that Kevin Costner movie that came out last year, I think.
Oh,
it
was okay.
Kevin Costner. Yeah, it kind of got lost in the COVID, you know.
Yeah, I think I remember hearing about that because I was like, wait, Kevin's not directing this?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the other director is Ali Salim, who directed a Hulu show called The Looming Tower. I'm not really familiar with that.
Okay, same.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, that article came out last week about, you know, kind of, I guess, clarifying something which was assumed by many, which is that the directors of these Marvel shows really probably have more influence and power over them than the writers do, mm-hmm. which is kind of the flip side of what normally happens on TV. Like, this is more, these are made more like features than they are like, you know, TV shows.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting.
I thought, and the funny thing about that is, like, you know, the quote unquote backlash about that, because like there's an article about it, and it's like, first of all, we already knew this, number one. Second of all, I thought that's what people liked, right? Because it's like the discourse a lot of the times with, you know, in among fans and stuff, especially with these, with, you know, things on screen, is like, you know, it's like, oh, like, you know, you hear all these things about, like, you know, like, oh yeah, let the directors do whatever they want. And then in this case, they are. But then it's like, oh, but what about the writers and the showrunners? It's like, well, we don't care about them on film. Like, that's clear. Because yeah. nobody cares. But now they do. And I think, you know, it's like with lots of things, I think it's people's issue is not, the people's issue is that Marvel is doing it. Like, if it was anybody else, I don't think that they would care. Or any other circumstances, I don't think they would care. But because it's Marvel and they're successful at what they do, like, they attract the haters.
Yeah, that's true. I think also, like, the people who are caring more than anyone are the writers, mm-hmm. you know, the Writers Guild and everything, where it's like, you know, TV has always been their domain. And now,
so it's a power thing.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, it's weird, though, too, because, like, the, you know, sort of thinking of how Marvel makes movies mm-hmm. has always sort of been in, like, the TV model. Not that mm-hmm. the writers of the movies have the power, but that, you know, Kevin Feige has the power.
As the showrunner,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and it's kind of made like that. You know, they all have the same cinematographers, you know, for example, and it's really just kind of like, the directors are not, I mean, occasionally, like with Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever, you get like a writer director who's brought in to.
Oh yeah. No, know, there's Black a hand. Yeah. There's a handful of movies that have their own distinct thing, but overall it fits into, you know, it looks a certain way because that's the mandate. That's the plan, right? Like yeah. it conforms to their, you know, sports terminology, their style of play, their system, right? Mm-hmm. So it's no different from, you know, again, like I've said this on this podcast before, it's like if you go work for them, you know what you're getting into, right? Mm-hmm. If you go play for the Yankees, you're not going to have a beard, right? So, like, because it's just the rules. Everybody knows it, right? Yeah. So I'm just kind of confused as to at certain backlashes that come about with these things. It's like, but you already knew what was up. So, like, why are you complaining?
Yeah. Yeah. So. And for the most part, you know, the people who do work on these things seem to be satisfied with the way that they turn out. I mean, there
have it's not Warner Brothers. You know, I mean,
yeah, yeah. I mean, there have certainly been, you know, like, for example, Edgar Wright leaving.
Yeah.
You know, that was probably the biggest one when he left Ant-Man. Mm-hmm. But, you know, whatever. It's interesting. So, all right. Well, moving over to DC, there was an article which came out which primarily focused on the search for a new Superman in Ta-Nehisi Coates' version, you know, a black Superman, mm-hmm. but also a director for that movie. And then it got into sort of like how DC movies are, you know, being approached by the studio mm-hmm. going forward. So, I mean, I guess kind of the interesting thing in some of the press for Without Remorse and everything, you know, Michael B. Jordan has said, like, I'm not going to be Superman, right?
Yeah.
He basically said that. And this article suggests that they're probably going to look for an unknown, mm-hmm. which I think makes a lot of sense because that's how they've always cast Correct. Superman. You know, and that's one of the reasons why the casting usually works, mm-hmm. because you don't have a big star in yeah. there. You have Superman. Mm-hmm. He's the star. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the other interesting things, I mean, something that we've talked about for sure is, well, it may be a period piece, mm-hmm. and it looks like it is going to be Clark Kent.
Yep.
So what do you think about that?
I hate it. because, again, like, well, first of all, with the new information that it is going to be, you know, looks like it's going to be Clark Kent, because like originally they were like when they were just like okay, Black Superman movie, and everybody was like, okay, Val Zod, Calvin Ellis, like established characters, right? And something that is lacking on film is like, you know, and all these properties across the board is, you know, giving minority characters their shine, right? Like established minority characters their shine. And so it's like, okay, Calvin Ellis or Val Zod will be the choice here. And Calvin Ellis, you know, to give them credit, you know, his name was also Kal-El. Like, that was also his Kryptonian name. So at first I was like, okay, well, maybe that's what they're doing. But when now it's like when it seems like it's going to be actually like a black Clark Kent and it's going to be a period piece, my thinking is what they're going to do is they're going to try and do the elements from Superman Smashes the Klan. Right. To really be as heavy handed as they possibly can with this. But that aside, it just like my question is why? Like why? Like we haven't even gotten Superman correct since Christopher Reeve, you know, like and that's just with, you know, regular OG white Superman. Like we haven't gotten that right yet after him outside of animation. So what is their thinking here? And I know what they're thinking here is because they're just like, oh, well, let's, you know, in the times that we're in, we want to, you know, try to give, you know, more opportunities to minority characters and black characters and all this other stuff. But I think the best way to be more pro-black in this case is to use existing, you know, characters that have already been created instead of just, you know, let's do a black Clark Kent. Like it's to me, it'd be much more impactful if they did Val Zod, or if they did Calvin Ellis, or they did John Henry Irons, right, to be Steel, or if they did Icon, or if they did, you know, Blue Marvel, like, you know, that's, you know, like, that's, you know, a Marvel type character, Superman analog, but he's not in the Marvels. So, so what does that tell you?
I mean, we don't know yet, do we?
Well, just history tells me that he's not going to be. Okay. So, you know, John Stewart, Vixen. I mean, the list goes on with established characters that have not gotten their thing. And I know Zack Snyder had a picture on his phone of somebody that was going to be John Stewart, but he wasn't in the movie, Zack. So stop trying to do this thing again where you're just like, well, I was going to do it. No. You had your shot. You got millions mm-hmm. of dollars and you could have put him in there if you really wanted to, but you didn't. All right. I don't care. He was told no, but like he was doing his own thing anyway. He should have just given them the finger and done it. Right. Mm-hmm. But since it wasn't, you don't get to come back afterwards and be like, oh, well, this would have been... No. You got to complete your complete vision, so shut up. Anyway, so... but in this case, it's like, it's just... I don't know what they're trying to do here. And you know, some people's worry, I think, is like, well, you know, Superman hasn't been selling, so let's do this to try and like gauge more interest and get more hype surrounding the thing. But if that's what you're going to try and do, like what you need to do is like make Superman good, which they haven't done since Christopher Reeve. So I just don't really understand their true reasoning for doing this outside of trying to make, you know, the statement that they're making, but it's the wrong statement in my opinion.
I see what you're saying, and I guess my thinking is, how did this project come about, right? Mm-hmm. Because if they were to just say, if there were no names or anything attached, and they were just say like, oh, we're doing a black Clark Kent, I'd be like, well, that's dumb. You should clearly be doing Val Zod. I mean, I don't even think Calvin Ellis is really I don't even think that's a real character, to be honest. You know,
I agree with you.
It was just a gimmick.
I agree.
So like Val Zod seems to be like the one to do, right?
Yes.
But I feel like what is happening here, and who knows, I could be completely wrong on this. I don't think this is a case of Warner Brothers saying, we want to do a black Superman, and then going out and hiring a team to do it. I really think this is a case of Ta-Nehisi Coates coming in and saying, I have an idea for a movie. This is it. And Warner Brothers saying, that's an awesome idea. It's something we had never thought of and would have never thought of in a million years, but that sounds great. Let's do it. Like, I think that that's how this is coming about. I don't think it's like them trying to, I mean, maybe in hindsight, they're like, oh, and we can also check this box, you mm-hmm. know, but I don't feel like they are like set out to do this thing and then hired a team of people to do it. Mm-hmm. I think like, you know, someone who's obviously a very well-established writer came in and with a vision and they said, yes, we will make your vision, you know?
Okay.
That's how I feel. And because of that, and that's really the only reason why, like, even though when they said, like, it's a black Clark Kent, and I'm like, that sounds like a really bad idea. Like, that's the only reason why I'm still very optimistic about this, because I feel like Coates would not be doing this if it wasn't like a passion project for him mm-hmm. and if it wasn't something that he truly believed in. And I just feel like, well, he's probably more creative than me and probably has an idea better than anything that I can imagine. And I'm excited to see what it is, because if it's so good that they're willing to go down this road, which seems incredibly stupid, it must be like a masterpiece, right? This is what I'm thinking.
Okay.
I don't know. I could be completely wrong, okay. but that's my feeling on it.
Okay. Well, here's, I guess, my response to that. You're just like, well, you think that Coates had an idea, brought it to WB, and they were like, this is great. And I think that is the problem, because what is their track record? Like, think about it. Like again, like I'm being serious. Think about their track record. Like the fact that they hear this idea from Coates, and which in my opinion is a dumb idea. And Warner Brothers is like, hell yeah. And it's like, let's do it. And it's just like, this is part of your problem. This is why you guys keep fumbling the bag. Like this is the same people that are putting out yet another Suicide Squad movie. This is the same people that are doing Peacemaker. This is the same people that like that have Pennyworth, right? And like, this is the same people that are doing Gotham again. This is the same, like, when we haven't gotten Superman correct, that they gave us, you know, the both Justice League and the Snyder Cut, like they gave us Green Lantern. Like, I can keep going, right? And these are the same people. Like, and so, like, and this is why, like, you know, sometimes, like, you know, these people who have these you know, these visions and all this other stuff need to be told no if some of their ideas are not good and then that are not going to sell, right? Because their track record suggests that, like, this is not going to work out for them. And then at the end of the day, if this doesn't work out, the arguments that are going to happen are A, you know, like, well, you know, like there was interference and, like, you know, I didn't get to finish my vision. It's like, no, that's not why it wasn't successful. And the other person is probably going to blame the fact that it's like, oh, well, this is why, you know, like black heroes can't sell. It's like, no, yes, they can. Anything black sells, right? Like, look at history, right? Yeah. Like nobody knew who Static was, but Static Shock was one of the most successful shows that the WB had, and they didn't sell toys for it on the, like, just because they were racist. And it was like, oh, there were no toy sales. Well, you didn't put any out there, like, to begin with, right? So that's your own fault. So again, their track record speaks for itself, and it's not a good, and what they're speaking is not good. So again, like, this is I don't think this is going to end well for them.
I definitely see what you're saying, you know, and I agree that there are a lot of, I mean, you didn't even bring up Joker, you know, which I think is probably the clearest cut example of this, right?
I forget that movie exists because it sucks.
But at the same time, you know, there's a world of difference between Ta-Nehisi Coates coming to you with an idea and Todd Phillips coming to you with an idea. You know what I mean? Like, the caliber here is much higher than, like,
which is really what makes it, which
anyone.
Which is also what makes it so much more disappointing, because, like, Coates is a intelligent, talented guy. He knows all the characters that I rolled out earlier, all the other black characters. So why isn't, like, why didn't he think about Icon, right? Like, and like, do something to help, like, repair the relationship between DC and the McDuffies, like, you know, because they treated McDuffie poorly, and he gave them a lot of the best things that they've ever done. A lot of most people's favorite things that have happened in DC within the past 20, 25 years was done by him, right? Yeah. And so, and he is responsible for it, whether it be animated or in print. But yet, like, they have not treated him or his legacy with the respect that it deserves, outside of a couple of platitudes here and there during Black History Month. And if Coates was, like, not aware of any of these things, well, that just shows me that he's not ready to do this, right? If he knew about all the characters that I mentioned earlier that have not gotten their proper shine, right, and knows that, you know, and I'm sure he should probably be aware that, you know, black characters have not gotten their shine as much as they probably should, then he should have done that, as opposed to being like Black Clark Kent.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen. I guess the only thing that I would say is, like, I'd rather see someone like Coates fail making his own vision than someone, you know, generic coming in and just doing something that, like, the studio wants him to do. You know what I mean?
Well, I would rather see Coates succeed and do it, like, you know, and do it and do justice to the material that he's working with, than to have this grand idea and fail and just be like, oh, well, that's kind of a waste of time, right? You know, like,
I guess.
So it's like, I mean, I don't, like, when we set out to do things, and this is coming from somebody who, like, works in the arts and is in the creative field, right? And so if I'm going to play a recital, I don't want to play and program the hardest stuff possible and fail at it and be like, oh, well, at least I tried it. I'm like, no, why would you want to do that? Right. Like, I would instead want to pick things that I could play, sound good on, and that it was interesting, but, like, also stuff that, like, that is catered to what I could do well and catered to what I can actually perform.
I know what you're saying, but I think that Coates is capable of more, you know. I think Coates can pull something like
we'll that. See. I mean, I'm already going to be, I'm like, this hasn't even done anything yet. We haven't filmed a second of this and nothing's happened with it, but I'm already exhausted by the discourse that is likely and inevitably going to come out of this, good or bad. And again, and for all of our sakes, I hope the movie is good. So that way, like, half of the discourse will be somewhat bearable, because if it's not, you know, Lord help us all, but don't say that I didn't warn you.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Yes. Well, the other thing that came out of this article was J.J. Abrams' involvement and how he really seems to be the driving force behind the DC movies these days, which makes sense. I mean, if you're going to give that guy a huge contract to make stuff at Warner Brothers, it's like, why wouldn't you have him handle the DC universe?
Yeah.
And I think that this probably goes it speaks a lot to, like, amongst other things, why they are not going forward with Zack Snyder's, you know, Justice League 2 or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's because now they have someone else in there, like Zack Snyder, who has a vision for the future, and they, you know, why would you have two things going? You know, let this person do his thing now, and hopefully it'll all turn out better.
I mean, you know, we can only go up from where they currently are.
That's true.
I mean, that's the possibility. You know, as of right now, the likelihood is that we're just going to stay exactly where we are.
I mean, maybe. I mean, I have a lot of faith in JJ. Like, I really love pretty much everything that he's done. You know, he's one of my absolute top, you know, filmmakers working today. And, you know, so it's exciting to see him, you know, do all this stuff. And like, so far, he hasn't done anything. But what he's done is he's, like, hired good people to do stuff, right? Whether it's, you know, Coates or Emerald Fennell for, you know, Zatanna or whatever. I mean, it seems like he knows what he's doing.
Let's hope so.
We'll see. So another comic book property, which is heading to the big screen, is Bitter Root, which is an Image comic. Mm-hmm. I haven't read it. Have you read it?
I have not, but it's a black family of vampire hunters.
Yeah, monster hunters or something in during the Harlem Renaissance.
Cool.
And it's being directed by Regina King.
My homegirl.
Yeah. So that, oh, by the way, speaking of which, I know that you said Jerry Maguire is your favorite movie of all time.
It is.
They're bringing it back to theaters next month. So
they are?
Keep an eye out, like June 25th or something like that. Yeah,
I'm excellent. Excited.
Yeah.
I love that movie so much.
It's good. Yeah, so, I mean, it's cool. I mean, Regina King obviously did a great job with Once Upon a Time in Miami, and you know, this sounds like an interesting idea. It doesn't really sound like a superhero thing, more of like a horror thing, yeah. but sounds like a cool idea for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Phil Lord and Chris Miller, the team behind 22 Jump Street,
yep.
and 21 Jump Street, I guess, but whatever.
Some of my favorite memes come from those movies.
Those are great movies, especially 22 Jump Street in particular.
The best scene of 22 Jump Street is when Channing Tatum finds out that Jonah Hill slept with Ice Cube's daughter. That's the best scene of that movie. One of the best scenes in cinema history. Don't at me. It's so funny. It's so funny.
There's so many good scenes. I mean, the whole gag with the red herring and, you know, and then Ice Cube and Queen Latifah.
Oh, it's so good. At the dinner table. Yeah. Oh, it's so good. Uh-huh.
I love that movie so much. It's a masterpiece. And then not to mention, of course, the end credits of that one.
Yes.
I mean, now see, that's how you do it, Zack Snyder. If you're going to have...
Yep.
Oh, so great. Anyway, they are working on a new movie called The Premonition, which is based on a new book that came out, I guess, last week, written by Michael Lewis, the guy who wrote Moneyball and The Big Short. And it's about three people who, in the early days of the pandemic, who basically said, like, guys, this is bad. Mm-hmm. Like, we need to, like, do something about it. And, of course, spoilers, nobody did anything.
That's right.
And, I was unaware of this book, but now I'm like, oh, man, I need to read this book. But Lord and Miller coming in to direct, they say that it's going to be kind of in the style of All the President's Men, which is great. And the other thing that they mentioned in this article, which I'm like, wow, that's actually pretty impressive. Like, three Michael Lewis books have been adapted into movies. There's been Moneyball, The Blind Side, and The Big Short. All three have been nominated for Best Picture.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure how Blind Side got nominated for Best Picture, but whatever.
I was thinking
that's
that
neither
as well.
Here nor there.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those, one of those weird anomalies, but, you know, whatever.
I mean, I also have some thoughts on why, but
there yeah. We go. And that's the one I think more than the others, which is just like, okay, you know, like apparently I haven't read the Blind Side book, but apparently it's all, like there's that whole thing at the beginning where it's like, you know, Lawrence Taylor, you know, breaking Theismann's like change the game, you know, and then all of a sudden, like the, you know, the offensive linesman became like
a premium
thing, and that's really what it's about. And like the story of the movie The Blind Side is kind of like this little like anecdotal thing in the book, but the book is actually about like the economics of how you structure a football team and all that stuff. Okay. You know what I mean?
So more in line with Moneyball and
yeah.
and Friday Night Lights. Cause like, if you've read the book Friday Night Lights, it's more about the Reagan era impact on small town Texas and the economics of high school football and race. It's about that stuff. It's yeah. not necessarily about the Permian Panthers. They're kind of in the background.
They're just doing their thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. I need to check that out.
Now, granted, there is a lot of football in there, but like a lot of the book of that book is about like Odessa, the oil boom, Reagan yeah. era politics, all that stuff.
I did not like that movie, but the show is like one of my favorite shows of all time.
Same. Know?
So, yeah, I'll have to check that out, that book. I want to check out this book too, but yeah, I don't know. Lord and Miller, they're great.
Yeah.
So it's a match made in heaven. Okay. So The Last Dance, huge success for ESPN and Netflix. Mm-hmm. So Hulu's like, well, we want our own Last Dance.
Yep.
How about we do that, but with the Lakers?
Why don't you just do one on the Yankees while you're at it, too? Like, or that's going to be the next one. Like, you know, Paramount Plus announces, you know, Yankees documentary. Because yep. ESPN's already doing a Brady 10-part one that's coming out at mm-hmm. some point. And then, you know, you could pencil it in, like, you know, let's see. How many years do you think LeBron has left?
Yeah, they got to put that on the schedule
There's going to be like a 12-part documentary because he has to one up Michael, and yeah. there's going to be a bidding war to see who gets the rights to do that one.
Oh yeah,
You can just pencil that in. So yeah, fine, Hulu, cool. Yes, I'm going to watch it. Yes,
yeah, you'll watch it and everything. And I was like, oh, and then
the Celtics are
going
to come out with one that very next year.
Well, they are working on the Celtics one.
There we go.
Oh no! You know what they're doing? They're doing a Lakers dramatized one, but it's like about like the Lakers Celtics
rivalry.
So like, there's a bunch of like Celtics players who are like in it. That is coming. That is on the way, but that's not a documentary. This is a documentary. And, you know, I mean, it's like, okay, guys, you know, I see what you're doing here and everything like that. And then at the end, they're like, oh, and by the way, it's directed by Antoine Fuqua. And I'm like,
yep.
You got me. Uh-huh. Okay, fine. You got me. I'll watch the whole thing.
Yep.
What do you want me to do? I mean, obviously he's great, and it's really disappointing. I mean, well, it's kind of disappointing, whatever. But his new movie, Infinite, is that what it's called? I think it's called that.
I think so.
I forget what it's called. Anyway, with Mark Wahlberg, it was, you know, supposed to be a big blockbuster thing, and they were going to release it in September, and now they're like, oh, it's coming to Amazon, like, in a few weeks. Or no, Paramount Plus, of course. Okay. Paramount Plus, because, you know, you got to subscribe to the mm-hmm. Paramount Plus. But whatever. Of course, I'll watch it as soon as it comes out. So, yes, Antoine Fuqua. But, yeah, hey, he just had that great basketball documentary, The Day Sports Stood Still.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. yeah. So, I'm sure it'll be great.
Yep.
But I'm also sure it will not be as great as The Muppets Haunted Mansion.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, honestly, think about this as I ask this question. Are there any group of characters with a higher approval rating than the Muppets and the Sesame Street characters?
Probably not.
Probably, like, seriously, I think it's like across the board 100% approval rating.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Yeah. Like, well,
my wife doesn't get it for some reason.
I'm really?
What's wrong with you? I don't understand.
I mean, Kermit was on The Masked Singer this season, and
awesome.
It blew up the internet for like a week. It was amazing.
So cool.
That
was like, oh my God.
That was so cool. That was so mm-hmm. fun.
Yep.
Great. I love it. Yeah. So of course I'm down with the Muppets doing anything.
Yeah, and this is, you know, of course, great corporate synergy or whatever. You know, Disney owns Haunted Mansion. They own the Muppets, so let's put the Muppets in the Haunted Mansion. But I'm like, I am there, you know? Come on.
Absolutely.
It's the best idea ever. The best idea you could possibly think of for like a Halloween special.
I mean, they have, you know, a top 10 Christmas movie already. So like, let's just keep it going. Let's just keep them doing stuff. Right.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Why not? They can own Halloween too.
Yeah.
The only thing that could possibly be better is if they made a Bring It On Halloween movie.
Oh, it's already been rotten.
So, which they're working on. Universal is doing a Bring It On Halloween, which sounds exactly like it sounds, yep. Where it's basically like Bring It On, but if it were a horror movie.
Amazing.
I mean, come on.
Amazing. I love the first Bring It On. Like no
it's
cap.
A masterpiece.
No cap. I love that movie.
It's a masterpiece.
Yeah.
And I've never seen the direct-to-video ones just because I've been like, what?
Why? No. Why? No, it's not going to. It's bother? Like, you can't. Like, there are like heavyweights in that first one, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Kirsten Dunst, Elijah Dushku, you know, Gabrielle Union. Like, come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Can't be beat.
But, you know, this is going to give them a run for their money. I mean, maybe they'll actually come back. I don't know. Wouldn't that be great?
That'd be amazing. Because Gabrielle could still get it. Like, she's ageless.
Yeah, I mean, she could still be like one of the high schoolers.
Yes, I know, right?
You know, they have said that like they're working on a sequel, like a legit sequel with amazing. All of the original cast and everything, which would be great. But I don't think that's what this is. But now I feel like I do need to go back and watch all of the direct-to-video ones. You know. Just so I'll be ready for this one. But, oh, my God, it sounds so great. It's not coming out until next year, which is really disappointing. But
it's all good. I'll be here when it's ready.
Yep. All right. Well, I guess that's pretty much it for this week. Yep. Lance, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at Sir Lance Laster on all of my social medias. And you can find me over on the United Federation of Podcasts talking about all the things that make Arrow, Arrow on Always Hold On to Arrow. And you can find us on Twitter at Do Not Fail Our Pod.
And you can find me on Twitter and Letterboxd at Mumbles3K. You can also find me on FilmDamagePod.com doing a show called Film Damage, where we talk about film projection, time travel, and Star Trek. All right. Well, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you soon.
Join the revolution. Join the Nerd Party.